According to many Catholic seers, mystics, and even saints, there is coming a moment in the world where God is going to give us a warning, an illumination of conscience, where everyone is going to see themselves as if they were standing before God in their final judgment. This is a warning, but why is it being given to our generation and at this time? We're going to discuss that next on Countdown to the Kingdom. Hello, I'm Mark Mallett from Countdown to the Kingdom and the NowWord.com. Well, I'm pretty excited to have with me a guest from Virginia, USA. Many of you have known him. You've known him for decades. He wrote Hope of the Wicked and Thunder of Justice. Ted Flynn, welcome to Countdown to the Kingdom. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you very much.
And Ted, we're going to be discussing, I have a copy of it. It's right by my bed. I've been reading it at night, every night. It's called Garibaldo, The Warning and the Great Miracle. And I tell you, Ted, there are some real gems of information. It's inspiring. It makes you want to make sure your relationship with Jesus is right. But it also gives us some great information that is so timely with all the trials going on in the world and in the church. And so I'm just grateful that you've come on to this webcast. We've been trying for 2 months, you and I, to get together to do this. And finally today, we've been able to do this. So welcome, Ted.
Thank you.
Ted, this so-called warning is actually a word that was coined from Garibaldo, Spain, Garibandal, if I'm pronouncing that right. My colleagues always correct me. But that was a word, I believe, that came from Garibandal, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, you know, the word, the warning, is English for what the word that was used in Garibandal was, aviso. That's the word that was used in Spanish. But by and large, the concept of the warning and the great miracle and the permanent sign, because they're three events that appear to be fairly close together, was mostly popularized as a result of Garibandal. Now, let's look at it. It's been over 60 years already since the apparitions began. And by and large, what was in a very small mountain village in northwestern Spain wasn't just for Garibandal, it's for the entire world. And today, we have approximately 8.1 billion people in the world, according to Wikipedia, that I just looked at it. So it's been much more popularized as a result of that. But what's happened over the last number of years, with the explosion of visionaries, apparition sites, the transfer of information over the internet, and by and large, more and more people have pieced together where other people have said things that very similar, that give the exact same impression of a warning. But I'd like to say right up front, I mean, you know, our website, sign.org and Signs of the Times Apostolate, we've been writing about these events now in our magazine, which it's in its 35th year. So I'm very aware of a lot of these other things. We have 5 board feet of publications. We probably have another 5 feet of information where people would like us to publish it. So we hear a lot. But my methodology in the book was to specifically stay consistent with what Garibandal said from 1961 to 65. I stayed just with that because the mixing, the maxing, the matching and the merging, there is no end to that today with what's being said globally. So the only way for me to stay consistent of an apple to an apple instead of an apple to a coconut was to basically stay what was said there. So we measure them up against that. So as I said, it's been many, many other people. You know, we know some very much luminaries, people like, you know, Pope Paul VI, Pope John Paul II, Padre Pio, Mother Teresa, Mother Angelica, who I have in the book. And they were very, very supportive of Garabandal. But we know people like Sir Edmund Campion and other people, they have spoken, you know, this is hundreds of years ago, about some sort of event like this. So there is a consistent message being spoken about historically as well as in modernity.
Right, and we address this on Countdown to the Kingdom. Often we speak of it as the prophetic consensus, that there's a kind of a consensus out there of events that are coming. Although, and actually, Ted, I can hear some feedback. If you're able to turn down your volume just a little bit there on the computer, that would help. But this prophetic consensus does indeed point toward a warning coming. And so another term I used at the beginning of the show was illumination of conscience. That was used by Father Stefano Gobbi. And there are others currently on our website. American Seer Jennifer also speaks of this illumination as well, and others. So the question, though, we want to ask, and that's the title of our show, is why the warning, though? Why now? Why not other generations? For instance, 100 years ago when communism was killing tens of millions around the globe, in Europe through the Soviet Union, we saw the communist revolution in China. We've seen, you know, genocides and so on in previous decades. But why? And even maybe perhaps, you know, World War I and World War II. Why is it that our generation now, over a century later, is the one that seems to be queuing up for this warning? And so maybe the first question is, Ted, any sense on when the warning would be? And if you want to comment on that, I know both of us really hate date setting and these kind of predictions, but do you have any sense at all from your studies of Garabandal that perhaps we're coming closer to that than sooner than later?
If I look just at the data of Garabandal, just at that data, as I say, to not trying to be coy or anything, but I still think we're a way off if you look just at Garabandal. So that would be point number one. If we look at what other people are saying, it gives the appearance that it's sooner. But by and large, it was Garabandal that led the charge for a lot of people to even be aware of this phenomena that's going to happen. So in terms of timing, I've been around this now, including scripture study, very heavily involved with scripture, to where a lot of people know me more through the Marian stuff. My passion for my whole adult life has been scripture study. That's been my whole passion. I remember once in a snowstorm we had here, where we had 42 inches of snow, I spent 4 days just in the Book of Kings. So if you take a look, it's dangerous to predict dates, because as I've watched this my whole adult life, which right now since trying to follow the Lord in the present capacity has been 45 years or more, every single person that has predicted a date where they have specifically identified what a date would be, you could look back and see that that has not happened. And when I was in my early 30s, I read a book, what all of the great thinkers, the Billy Graham type people, the Chuck Swindolls, it was very, you know, St. Jerome type, that they even quoted, you know, from the St. Jerome Bible commentary, which was a long, long time ago compared to the modern era of what heaven has been doing through the guidance of the Holy Spirit for their people. As I look back at what all of the great people thought on the Book of Revelation, none of it has proven to be true. With a lot of these great, great evangelical, by and large Protestant leaders trying to interpret literally the Book of Revelation, which it even says in Revelation, these things are hidden. So in terms of timing, it appears that we're not there yet. However, Conchita said, you know, this would happen in God's perfect timing. It would happen at the appropriate time. And she also said that, you know, it wouldn't be from a lag of time. That's a little paraphrase, but it wouldn't be for the delay in time where these things won't happen. It will happen in God's appointed time. So, you know, I don't look at it like that. I mean, I'm looking at a lot of people go up in flames over the last several years, where sex, drugs, and rock and roll have frankly overtaken culture, consumed family life to just tremendous levels of sin and destruction in families. And so my attitude now is I'm following my own advice of things that I've written about for the last 5 or 7 years. And that is to stick to the rubrics of the faith and let everything else go. In other words, don't go out picking daisies all the time for things that really don't matter. Are you in adoration? Are you in prayer? Are you in scripture study? Are you paying attention to your family? Are you trying to make daily mass if possible? So I'm following my own advice of trying to stick to the fundamentals of the faith. And then let them go. And because that's where peace resides for us, is following the fundamentals. And if we do that, In living a life of obedience, that's where we get peace of soul and peace of mind and peace of heart.
Yeah, amen to that. I 100% agree with you. That is just sound advice. And unfortunately, we do see way too much focus today. And we're seeing some seers, they aren't published on Countdown to the Kingdom, but some alleged seers wanting to predict that, this is going to be very near. My own sense from my own biblical studies, from my own writing and apostolate, Ted, is that things have to get much worse than they are. And I know a lot of people are going, well, how could it be any worse than they are? Well, for one, we still have our freedom. We still have the mass going on daily. Those are key things that we have right now that we know, according to biblical prophecy and to other prophetic revelations out there, that's going to be taken away and driven underground in many places. For me, the seven seals of Revelation, as I've shared with you in the past, Ted, are a progression towards this sixth seal, which sounds very much like the warning, in which suddenly everybody in the world experiences a great shaking, and they think it's the day of the Lord. They think it's the wrath of God. They want to hide. It sounds very much like the illumination of conscience. But leading up to that point, Ted, you've got war breaking out where people are slaughtering each other across the world. You've got hyperinflation, a collapse of the economy. You've got plagues and famine spreading. The fifth seal is persecution. And all of this leads up to the eye of the storm, which I call it, it's like a hurricane, is how the Lord seemed to put it in my heart. And you get up to that eye of the storm where the winds are most fierce. And so it's in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, Ted, we aren't at that point yet. Things are going to have to get worse. And so this is something I read in your book where, and I forgive me, I don't remember the name of the seer, but she said in Gerabandal that things would seem almost lost. Everything would seem almost, everything is lost, and that's the point of the warning. Is that correct? Did I read that correctly?
It was either Conchita or Mary Lowling. Yeah.
I think it was Mary Lowling.
What's that?
I think it was Mary Lowley, I believe.
I think you're asking the single most profound question in this entire subject right now of Gerabandal. Why? Why is the warning? Why does heaven seem to think that this is necessary for our point in time, for this generation? You know, the Chinese have a saying, may you live in interesting times. Frankly, for me, if I wrote that, I'd rather live in duller times. I mean, every single day seems to be some sort of emergency, crisis, something happening terrible in a family, and we hear about it a lot, and we become more of a magnet for that sort of thing for people in need. I'd rather live where it's a little bit more dull right now. But I do think that this question of why the warning, heaven finesses everything in advance, way, way in advance. We're literally, we have to realize that we're living with a God where he said, I am who I am. And in Latin, that's ego sum qui sum. I am who I am. When Moses asked that question, he was actually trying to put God, this being, into some sort of box that he could intellectually understand. That's one of the most profound, I mean, that's who Jesus was. And when Jesus himself said, I am, he was equating himself with Yahweh, which the Hebrew people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawgivers at that time, that's the one that sent him over the edge.
Yeah,
so we're dealing with a God here right now who is going to do exactly as he feels necessary for the good of all humanity. Now, if you want to look, we're also told these events will not be able to be explained by science. Now, let's say at the time of the Red Sea parting, that had never happened before, but Yahweh seemed to think that was the way he wanted to work it for a miracle for his Hebrew people to believe. And then you could even look further. That had never happened. And then you could look at Joshua in the book, in the 10th chapter of Joshua, chapter 12, where Joshua was in battle. And he literally, he felt as if he had an edge if the battle could prolong. And he asked the Lord that the sun would not set and the moon would not appear. And so that actually happened so where Joshua could win that battle. That had never happened before in all of history, yet it happened. And Joshua, as we know, was one of the people who did enter the promised land and was the man of faith, where 10 of the spies that Moses sent out, 10 said, don't go. And they said, there's giants in those in the land. And Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can defeat them. So they spoke with faith. And now you could even fast forward to a modern era that a lot of people can understand with the miracle of the sun at Fatima.
Yeah.
That had never happened before. It made the New York Times to where 70,000 people saw the miracle of the sun that was not able to be explained by science. And if you ever listen to John Hafford, it had been a sopping, muddy ground with torrential rain right before that. And right after the miracle of the sun, everything immediately became dry. And those people thought that the end of the world was coming, or they were all going to be killed. So we're dealing with a God here who is going to do this the way he feels. And so this warning, we have to leave the dimension of trying to put God into this category, a box or something that we think how he should operate, but right. He's going to operate exactly as he determines what's best for his people. And that's us at the moment. And that's the miraculous part of that we're looking at. These miracles of either the warning or the miracle will not be explained by science. And I do believe with you that we still have a way to go. Why? It's very, very fundamental. Because the people are not crying out in repentance. And in the entire history of the Old Testament is there is no restoration without repentance. And we're not there yet. We're still thumbing our nose at God in a very, very sinful generation. So we're not at the repentance phase, which leads me to believe we're still not quite there yet.
The parallel to that for me, Ted, is the story of the prodigal son. And he took the father's inheritance and he left home, and he spent it. He blew it on fast women and fast camels. And he
I never heard that one.
He went. I'm here. Thank you. I'll be here all week. he blew it, but he still didn't come home. And a famine hit the land. The boy still didn't come home. He went to feed pigs. Now, this is a Jewish story being told. And here you have this Jewish boy feeding pigs. And it was only when he was up to his knees in the pig slop of his sin, then he had an illumination of conscience. Then he was ready when he realized the pigs were eating better than him, that he had this illumination that said, Father, why did I leave your home? I'll come back and I'll just be a servant. I won't be a son. And you know the rest of the story. He returns and the father receives him. I think that we are somewhere in the point right now where we're almost at the famine point, but that's not going to be enough. It's going to be have to be where people see that everything seems almost lost, and then God's going to intervene. But again, Ted, we have to go back to the fact this is just a warning. This is all it is, which means it's a warning. It's going to be a sieve. It's going to be something, I think, that will divide the army of Christ from the army of the Antichrist. And John Paul II spoke about this final confrontation that was coming. And many of the popes, as you know, Ted, have spoken about a coming era of peace, a new dawn, a new springtime in the church. But as I remember meeting with Pope John Paul II's secretary, and I looked at him, Cardinal Jivic, and I said to him, before this springtime comes, there's going to be a weather, right? Or winter, rather. And he just looked at me and smiled, and he let me answer my own question. But the reason the warning is coming, Ted, and we can briefly address this, is that we are coming to the end of an era, a long era. And what is coming, according to the scriptures and according to many seers, is the final stage of the church's journey, when she will be purified, she'll be given a new and divine holiness. It says in Revelation 19, I believe, she'll be given a white garment. And St. Paul speaks of her being a spotless and unblemished bride. Well, we're hardly there now as we look at the headlines are all about what seems to be we're on the verge of heresy, speaks of sexual scandals. And so I think this warning that's coming, Ted, and I'll get you to comment on it, is it's a warning for this generation, not just because we're very sinful, and we are, but because we're at the end of an era now in which the scriptures are all going to be fulfilled and Christ is going to triumph and the gospel will be vindicated to the ends of the earth. Ted, your take on that?
I think you're absolutely spot on. I mean, you know, you talk about when you were reading this book, and it's frankly due to the content, as I say about some of my stuff, if you put it by your bedside, it'll put you to sleep quickly. But, you know, this material here is so profound, it frankly takes your breath away. For a person to have some sort of understanding of church history or of scripture or the patristic fathers, the desert fathers, the saints, they can see that this material is frankly breathtaking. And I'd like to say we're at a point where I don't think the people are repentant yet. I still see, you know, a hardness of heart and not willing to submit. But there's going to be a point where, you know, every single person cries to the mother. Anybody that has studied human development knows that when a child is in trouble, it goes to the mother first. And we're getting close to where people are going to cry out to heaven, to the Blessed Mother, for this forgiveness and change. Now, you know, you talk of, I think what we're looking at is a point of confluence of so many data points in the world that we're moving, where the old era is actually being done away with at the moment. What heaven is doing is actually exposing all of the evil in the world right now. You can be with somebody for just a very short amount of time, a wedding, a funeral, a country club setting, maybe even a church setting or something for donuts after. And you know, there'll be somebody who says something that will trigger that they're very, very liberal. And what happens if the conservative rebuts that, like, you know, whether it's abortion or something really obvious, if the conservative or the believer rebuts that, the person who is by and large liberal, progressive, socialist, flat out communist, they'll attack you in just a matter of minutes. The relationship is over before it even started, because the lines of demarcation now are so strong. But if you take a look, right before the woman appears with clothed with the sun of Revelation 12:1, Right before that, if you look at Revelation 11, 8, and 9, there is thunder, there is destruction in the world, and it's why there's tremendous problems in the world in Revelation 11, just before the woman with the clothed with the sun appears. So what I think we're looking at is virtually the closing of an era right now, in the exact same way when Jesus came to the world, the lawgivers could not understand who this person was. It was by and large the Anawim. It was the little people. It wasn't the learned and the wise, or as you know, gospel says, not many wise, not many noble enter the kingdom of God. But by and large, it isn't the global elite that are adhering to these messages, or the sophisticated people, or the cognoscenti of the world. It's by and large the people who are in obedience. They're the people in prayer. They're the people in adoration. And we're watching, in my opinion, the closing of an era in the exact same way that when Jesus came, the Mosaic law was being done away with. And then there was a new law that was written on the hearts of men. And we can see even in Scripture where Peter and Paul had a disagreement on circumcision. And it was Paul who won that argument. And there's something that's really not recognized at all. I don't think I've ever heard a talk on it. But when St. Paul was knocked off his horse, it was probably a horse because he was a Roman citizen. It could have been a donkey, it doesn't say. But when he was knocked off his horse, he went to the desert of Arabia for 3 years to be discipled by the Holy Spirit before his ministry began. I don't think I've ever heard a talk on it. So the Holy Spirit taught him. And when he went up to meet Peter, Peter was basically saying that circumcision should be done. And Paul, St. Paul, who never saw Jesus, in essence, he was the first visionary in the New Testament. He never walked with Jesus. And he said, no, 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 that's done away with now. That's the old law. We're under a new law now. We're heading to another dimension spiritually in the world that the world has never seen before, and we're getting closer. I believe I believe it's going to be in our lifetime, but I don't think it's just yet.
I totally 100% agree with you on that, and we know that even the early church fathers spoke of it, the times of the kingdom. That was Tertullian, St. Irenaeus, and others of the early church fathers spoke about this coming of the kingdom. And of course, we've been praying for it every day in the Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, how? On earth as it is in heaven. I mean, if you just ponder those words, as it is in heaven, but it's going to be done on earth in time and history, it speaks then of there's going to be some sort of an existence of the church that is not the beatific vision, but is yet going to be a state of holiness that is almost as it is in heaven, and it will be on earth. And of course, we have mystics like Dina Bélanger, servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, who's being persecuted presently, and others who have written extensively about this existence of the divine will. And it is, as you said, Ted, it will be a state that the world has never known, that we've never experienced before, and it'll be beautiful. And I believe it is the final stage before the very end of the world. So we're not even at the end of the world, but we are, Ted, at the end of an era. And I'm almost tempted to wrap us up at this point, Ted, and just bring you back again, because we want so many people to see this webcast, and we know the longer we go, the more people tend to tune out. But let me just, you've mentioned in your book, and you've mentioned it in this webcast, again, I really recommend people to get this book, and we'll tell you where you can get it at the end of the webcast, but Ted, you've mentioned the great miracle. So following this warning, the seers tell us within a year there's going to be also a permanent sign or miracle. Ted, what is that, or what could it possibly be that they're referring to, and why?
Looking at the information from, let's segue into two parts to that. that are each separate answers, but maybe do dovetail. In terms of the question, what could it be? As far as the information as given at Garabandal itself, to stay with my methodology, it's not specifically said exactly what the miracle is. Now, we know from using just the Garabandal data, if we look at from the date of the warning itself, which the only person who knew the year of the warning was Mary Lowley, and she died in 2009. And the only person who knows the day of the miracle is Conchita, and she's naturally still living in New York City. But we know that these are fairly close, but it's within 1 year. That the operative word from the Garabandal messages from the Blessed Mother to stay consistent is within 1 year. Now, legally, if you want, that's 365 days. But if you want to go back and how short it could be, we know from the time of the warning to is a certain amount of time. But from the time that it will be announced will be between the 8th and 8 days in advance by Conchita. So there's a bit of time. Now, we're already into April of 2024. And by and large, if you take a look at what some people have said after the messages, you know, we're looking right now on a practical basis of the month of April being eliminated for the miracle because the warning hasn't taken place. Now, we know that this warning is a day of tremendous shaking for an individual. I mean, I've spoken to as many as 25 or 30 now, I'm not quite sure, of people since I released the Thunder of Justice that have come up to me and said they saw their life in a review. And whether they were talking about a near-death experience or a much more graphic part of that, I'm not sure they knew. But of the several people that I've spoken with, they said it's the single biggest event that they could ever think of in their entire life and even conjure up in their own imagination to see their whole life go before them like a moving picture. So we know it's very profound. We know the warning will be seen and felt. It's both. People forget that. But by and large, in terms of your question, if we look at what other people have said, like Saint Faustina and other visionaries, we get some clues there. But I intentionally stayed away from a lot of that. I put some very, very limited amount in the book. Could have written another 1,000-page book on what other people have said about similar things, but that wasn't my methodology. But we know from other people that, and anybody listening to this and listening to your podcast over the years has probably been educated on what other people have said about these events.
And so, Ted, we don't really know then what the miracle is, but the question may be more important is why. And I'm assuming it's to give the faithful in what is to follow after the warning. And it is my personal belief that after the warning, we're going to see the separation of God's army from those who accept the warning and repent and those who don't. That this permanent sign that will take place in Garabandal and other Circe will also be in other places around the world where there's been apparitions. I don't know about that, but that's a possibility. That this warning, or that this miracle that can be filmed, it can be seen, but it cannot be destroyed by man, will be there as a permanent sign for the faithful, as a sign of strength for them. Similar to maybe how the pillar of fire and the cloud went and followed the Israelites as the army pursued them of Pharaoh. I don't know. I'm just kind of conjecturing here as to why God would leave this miracle.
Well, I think it's to boost faith. I mean, if you really want to take a look, we are, as a world, you know, from our parents' generation, there was much more scriptural literacy. As a result of dumbing down our culture, we are, as I'm going to only speak for the United States, but I'm absolutely certain I can speak for most parts of the world without a stretch. We are, as a world, scripturally illiterate. I mean, I remember seeing something like 30 years ago where a guy was going around New York City with a camera and a mic sticking it in somebody's face. Can you name two Old Testament prophets? And the answers were Billy Graham, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I think what heaven is doing in its finesse, I think it's given so much information for basically markers for humanity, because we're so dumb. We're frankly scripturally illiterate as a world to know anything. And if you look at the data points, literally for the miracle, there's not many for the warning. It's just going to happen. We know some components of what it is, but nowhere near the markers for what the miracle will be. And so I think heaven is basically in its mercy giving so much information for a world that is virtually scripturally illiterate. Now, if you want to just take, I think I can speak for Canada, because you may even be further down the socialist road than us, although we're sure catching up. You know, in 1962 and 1963, the Supreme Court of the United States took prayer and the Bible out of the classroom. That, by SCOTUS, is a communist act. And all the way back then, there was nothing, you know, it just happened. And so there wasn't an outcry of the people to reverse this through state legislatures. But we actually, we sealed our own fate when we kicked God out of the classroom. That's exactly what happened. We that was the nail in the coffin for America's fidelity to the Lord when we kicked him out of the classroom. And being the gentleman that he is, he left. It's called free choice.
It's called free choice, and that's exactly what the warning will be. It will be a choice for everyone in the world in that moment to be able to choose to either accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, as the one who has come to redeem us, or to reject him. And it's a moment that, although it seems it could be far off, many of these events of the seals of Revelation could unfold very quickly and rapidly follow. And so we should take nothing for granted. We should be ready at every moment. And so going back to what Ted said at the beginning, we need to go to confession. We need to be in a state of grace. We need to take our faith seriously. We need to be going to daily mass when we can, spending time in adoration. And as part of that preparation, I would also recommend you supplement. And for those of you who are new to this subject, you can get this book, Get a Bundle, The Warning and the Great Miracle. And Ted, where can people find this great book?
They can go to sign.org, which is Signs of the Times Apostolate. We're in Virginia. But I'd like to say something about, you know, the timing. There is a point, I remember many years ago in the 90s, I'd never been to New Orleans, and it's not, frankly, one of my favorite cities either, but it got great food. But I remember somebody was taking me around New Orleans when I was on a speaking tour of four or five cities, and they were showing me New Orleans, and there was one of the biggest problems in New Orleans that I had never heard about, but only read it once since, was how much termites were destroying the city of New Orleans. And then there is a point they were telling me that when it was really a huge infestation in the whole city, and they didn't really know how to deal with it. And so the person was saying there is a point where the house will stay up, but that the point that the house will fall down is when the termites actually hit a cross beam and then the entire thing tumbles. We're at a point right now due to the longitudinal basis of this heinous sin that has been going on in the world, that our systems are collapsing at the moment on a global basis. You can pick any social indice you choose, whether it's the debt cycle that is the weapon of mass destruction for us, whether it's the curriculums being taught in school, whether it's the corruption in institutions, whether it be media, academia, pick your subject. But by and large, the systems are beginning to collapse all around us. And there's going to be an event. I don't know exactly what it could be, but right now, as of today, we have NATO jets flying with nuclear capability. So, as I say, I think we're a way off, but when you wake up tomorrow morning, be surprised at nothing. So anything is now possible to basically bring these seals and events happen much, much quicker. And then all of a sudden, what we'll see, everything will actually move very, very fast, pretty much like an avalanche. It'll just take out everything in its way through possibly some black swan event that we can't even quite guess yet.
Maybe on that note, that's a good note to end. Ted, I want to just close by thanking you for your faithfulness over all these years. I have quoted you. I was a teenager when I first began reading you, and your work is academic. It's been faithful. It's right on the money. And again, thank you, Ted, for coming. And I do want to have you back if you come back to our webcast.
We scratched the surface. We hit 1%. We hit 1%. And the lament is that, you know, time is our enemy.
Yeah. All right, Ted. Well, we'll have you back again. God bless you, and thank you all for watching. And prepare. Prepare today for the warning, not tomorrow. Prepare today, because tonight, we never know, could be your night when you meet Jesus face to face. Thank you, Ted. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you.